What up? Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Impact Sports Cincinnati podcast. I am Chris Asbrock, and we are, of course, presented to you by Impact Sports Cincinnati. Again, I am Chris Asbrock, and I'm joined by my co-host tonight, making his triumphant return, Nick Cimino. Nick, what is up, my man? How are you today?
We're doing good here, Chris. We're doing good, Chris. It's a good week of to be a Bengals fan.
Yes, it is. And now, you know what? We get to sit back now for the first time in over three decades. Think about that. Over three decades. When you and I were kids, for the first time, we get to say the Bengals are playing in the divisional round of the AFC playoffs. How amazing is that?
It's such a great feeling, you know. I mean, last weekend, you know, seeing them win the game against the Raiders, gives people chills. It was awesome to see people in the stadium, you know, crying, and you know, even myself, you know, being at home and still watching the game and still brought tears to my eyes because, like you said, Chris, it's been 30 years since they've done that, and it's a remarkable feeling to finally get that feeling again. So it's just a awesome feeling. It'll be great to see them play again this week against Tennessee.
You know what was incredible about the game was the fact that it still honestly really hasn't like sunk in yet. Like I say that, and I was watching the Bengals had tweeted out a video basically of kind of, it was something along the lines of like, you know, we're not done yet. I can't remember exactly how it was, but it was just a phenomenal video, obviously with some of the audio calls from the game on Saturday. And it really, like, I ended up with it. I had a tear in my eye. Cause I'm like, that's when for the first time, like I said, it really hit me. Like I would be talking to people all the time, you know, throughout this entire week of, oh, you know, hey, we know, what'd you think about the game? You know, how much, you know, did you have fun down there? And, you know, and that kind of stuff there. And I'm like, you know, even talking about it, it's still just, it never really sunk in. And now it kind of has now, and it's wow. I mean,
it is. It's, that's all you can say is wow, because no matter where you go in the city, I mean, no matter where you are in Mason, I mean, here we are, you know, in Hamilton Township. I mean, you could go to Westchester. The feeling in this whole town, everywhere, is palpable for the Bengals, which is totally cool to be in a city where this is going on right now. Because obviously, you know, me coming from upstate New York, being originally from, you know, outside of Syracuse, I never really had a chance to experience this. And it's such an awesome experience with everyone around you. Cause I mean, everyone is so excited about this. I mean, the city isn't, you know, is really excited about something. You know, it's been a tough few years, obviously, for the Reds. I mean, it's been a while since they've been to the playoffs, and obviously the Bengals and their experience, and, you know, FC Cincinnati still, you know, a relatively new team. So, I mean, you know, obviously we're still waiting there. I mean, but it's just an awesome feeling to be here right now because the team's good and they're actually relevant right now, which is awesome. And I mean, and as Joe Burrow said, we all got to get used to this because this is the standard now. So, which I absolutely love. You got to love Joe Burrow.
Oh, JFB is, I mean, just the swagger that dude carries. And again, I think it was Richard Skinner. He was talking about, I was listening to his post-game show. It was actually, he posted it on Monday. And it cracked me up because he's like, if you look at Burrow, he's like, the dude's, he's just a goofy guy. Like, you know, he's just like a, you know, you wouldn't picture him to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what you would envision. And just the swagger that dude has and the confidence and just, I mean, the guy flat out makes plays. He's, you know, there's a reason why they call him Joe Cool. I mean, wow. I mean, flat out, wow.
He's never rattled, ever. I mean, he's never rattled. He's on the field. If he throws an interception, he knows in the next play he's going to do, you know, something amazing. I mean, but he's just constantly, he's got, like I said, he's got ice water in his veins. I mean, the throws he makes, and I mean, one thing people's got to realize, and I mean, I don't think a lot of people do realize, I mean, but if you look at his, he's 25 years old. He's an older second year player. He's older than Lamar Jackson. He's older than Kyler Murray. He's older than a lot of these other, you know, up and coming players. So he is like a veteran quarterback out there, which a lot of the other broadcasters have been saying. He's like a veteran quarterback already at his age and only being in his second year. So he truly is way ahead of the curve. So, I mean, to have that as our quarterback, and then on top of that, we bring the receiver that he had the most trust with from LSU, if now he's had for the full season here. I mean, And I mean, like he said, I mean, this is the standard now, and I believe him because the sky's the limit every year now with him. Because with him, Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, T. Higgins, I mean, you know, Boyd, I mean, who's bought into this? And I mean, like we were saying earlier, we're talking. I mean, you put a couple good offensive linemen in front of this guy, oh, we're going to be a scary team, a very scary team to play.
Well, you know why this is going to be the standard now is because of what this franchise has done over the last couple of years. You know, and Zach Taylor said it best, you know, in the post-game conference after the game, he goes, you know, I wouldn't be here if I was with any other team. Like, you know, he was talking about Mike Brown. He gave Mike Brown, you know, one of the game balls because, you know, he basically, you know, Mike Brown deserves it. And everything that he's done, he goes, and he said it best. If I was anywhere else, nobody would have given me the chance to have this third season.
Nope.
But you know what? And like Richard Skinner said on his podcast, he goes, Mike Brown easily could have backed his way out of that because this wasn't a Mike Brown hire. This was a Duke Tobin and Katie Blackburn hire. And, you know, Mike could have easily stepped in and said, all right, 6 wins in 2 years. This crap ain't going to cut it. And he could have easily pulled the plug, and he didn't. This franchise has not. And that's what, you know, and you and I, like, you know, we've said it numerous times. We talk every single day about this kind of stuff. It's if people could just record, if people could just listen to our conversations as we're, you know, as we're on our way home from work or whatever, you know, the things we discuss with this Bengals team, it's amazing. Like, this is, and I don't know how many times you've said, this is not your dad's Bengals. That's what
it's definitely not the time we grew up with. I mean, obviously you've said it numerous times, and I mean, you probably preached it more than I have, and probably more than most people in Cincinnati about when this team definitely got the turnaround. I mean, you were right. Marvin Lewis deserves a statue in front of the stadium, because if it wasn't for him, Zach Taylor wouldn't be where he is today. And would you agree with me?
1,000%.
I mean, Marvin Lewis turned the corner for this team, made this team where it is today. And I mean, Marvin actually, you posted on Twitter or Instagram about the photo with him and Andrew Whitworth sitting down and actually talking about the Bengals and where they are today and how everything they've turned around. And just, I mean, Marvin has nothing but positive things to say about this team. So even Andrew Whitworth said really good things about the Bengals just recently in the interview that he had with Marvin and everything. And that the fact that when Burrow actually tore his ACL and actually went out to California to have surgery, the medical director from the Rams, actually the one who did the surgery. So when he was rehabbing out there, he was actually staying with the Whitworths. So the Whitworths actually got a good chance to really know who Burrow was. And even Whitworth said he was a different type of animal than Carson and then obviously Dalton. Cause he obviously saw both of them. Andrew Whitworth saw Carson. He obviously saw Dalton. He said that Burrow is a different animal than both of these guys. So, I mean, which is speaks high praise coming from obviously probably one of the best offensive linemen of all time. Because Whitworth's that guy. I mean, Whitworth's amazing.
Exactly. And one thing we had discussed just a couple days ago, too, and it might have even actually been the day after the game, was, you know, the cool part, we finally hit a point now to where you wouldn't trade your quarterback for anybody in this league.
No.
And nobody in this league I would trade Joe Burrow for. Even Tom Brady? No, nobody. Because of what you get from Burrow anyway. You're getting a swagger to him. You are getting a quarterback who is coming out to win, who's a flat out gamer.
You're getting Tom Brady 20 years younger.
Exactly. No,
that's what you're getting. You're getting Tom Brady 20 years younger is exactly what you're getting.
And I mean, and I'm not here to say Burrow's the best quarterback in the NFL because, you know, I would still.
He's one of them.
Rodgers. Oh, he's up there.
He's one of them.
He's not the best quarterback in the league.
No.
But damn it, he's up there as every bit top five. Every bit top five.
He's definitely proved it here these last five, six games. Absolutely.
And again, the throws that dude made, like I said, it felt criminal. The throw that he made, and I still say, you know. The one throw that that Aaron Rodgers made to Davante Adams, crap, which game was it? I can't remember. It was a couple weeks ago. You know, it was one of the best throws you're going to see a quarterback make. But then Joe Burrow and that seam route to CJ Uzama where he just laid it in right over Divine Diablo's helmet. That is one of the sickest throws you will ever see a quarterback make.
It was filthy. It was filthy.
And like I said, I felt dirty like watching it, because it was like, oh man, I felt dirty watching it. That's how like sick it was. And it's like, we're in.
Oh, sorry. No. It's like, it's touching on that is that I actually listened to the interview after the game was over with CJ Uzomah. He actually sat down with Lapp actually, and actually had an interview with Lapp just recently. Just I think it was Monday. He actually had the interview with Lapp, and he actually talked about that throw. And he said that he said during the throw when the he said he knew the play was coming to him. He knew it, but he said when he was waiting for the pass come, he thought about in the back of his head as he's waiting for the pass. He said that, do I turn around and come back at it and come back and go get it? He goes, but he said, if I did that, he goes, then the, you know, the linebacker probably would turn around with me. He goes, so I just went with it. And he goes, it was unreal. He goes, I literally kept running and the ball was ended up directly in my hands. He said, he goes, I don't know how he got it there or what he did. He goes, but he goes, it was unreal. He goes, and Joe's not a guy to gloat. He goes, Joe just moves on to the next play. He goes, but he goes, in the next drive, he said that they went back to the huddle. He goes, he looked right over at me and he goes, hey, how about the throw? He goes, he never gloats. He goes, he never gloats about anything. And he goes, he was telling Lapp this. And he goes, he never gloats. He's always, you know, he's a stern guy in the huddle. He never cracks jokes. He's always, you know, he's always go, go, go. He goes, he goes, myself, you know, he said himself and Spain are the guys that actually crack jokes in the huddle. He goes, but for Joe to say that to me, he goes, Joe knew how good of a throw it was. And he goes, he's remarkable. And he said, it's absolutely insane. So it's like, it's just, I'm just glad to be our quarterback.
That is hilarious. But that's the kind of swagger that you need. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not a cocky dude.
Nope.
I mean, he's confident, which is what you obviously want from your quarterback. And here's the thing. I mean, Joe Burrow became only the third Bengals quarterback to ever win a playoff game. Like, that is crazy to me. So he joins Boomer and Kenny Anderson is the only Bengals quarterbacks to ever win a playoff game.
Think on that. Of all the other guys we've drafted, we've brought in, and those guys never got the job done. I mean, Andy never got the job done. Carson, I mean, Carson was the number one overall pick too. I mean, he just never got the job done. I mean, even though if Chris Henry doesn't get hurt and he doesn't blow out his knee, we probably win the Super Bowl that year. So, I mean, that's definitely a big asterisk in our life there. But, unfortunately, yeah. But Joe got it done. But I mean, but it's such a good feeling to have that monkey up our back. And I mean, but now the whole thing everyone's talking about is now, well, the Bengals have never won a road game ever. And they've in our history, we've never won a road game in the playoffs. So it's like, you know, that's another thing. It's like they bring that up there now. So it's like, it's another thing Joe's got to take off the list now. So it's like, all right, Joe, go out and do it, buddy.
Well, you know what? And that's actually, you know what? That was, you know, Nick, that was a great job of segueing, because, you know, Let's move on to that game. So the Bengals now, location, it is Nissan Stadium in Nashville, Tennessee, home of the Tennessee Titans, where the Cincinnati Bengals will travel to Tennessee to face the number one seeded Titans on Saturday, which is the 22nd. Kickoff is set for 4:30 p.m. The game is going to be on CBS and Paramount Plus if you're going to stream it. But CBS will have the good crew. We'll have Jim Nance and Tony Romo, I believe they're the ones who are calling the game.
It is. You're correct. Yep, you're correct.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought, yep. I saw that. But, again, the Bengals, you know, they got the monkey off their back winning the first playoff game in 31 years. Now I look at it this way. This team is full of, like I said, they've got a swagger to them now. They are now facing the Tennessee Titans. Now, this is the game that we have discussed. We wanted Tennessee out of all the situations. We could have played Buffalo. We could have played New England. We could have been Kansas City. I didn't want to play any of those teams except for New England. I would have played them in a heartbeat.
That's the one where you and I disagree. Actually, I would have never wanted to play New England just because the Bill Belichick factor obviously sort of scared me. And I mean, obviously, we don't do good against quarterbacks that we play for the first time. So the whole Mac Jones thing got me. But that was the one team I didn't want to play. I mean, honestly, playing the Bills would not. I mean, and listen, fingers crossed. Let's hope we win this. When we win this game on Saturday, we play the Bills next. Because honestly, I think we match up very, very, very well against the Bills. Yes, I know you and I both have a big high admiration for Josh Allen. He's an amazing quarterback as well. But the rest of his team honestly doesn't scare me. I mean, Stephon Diggs, yes, very good. But the rest of their offensive weapons don't really scare me. So it's like, I think that's a game we could actually win quite. I personally, to me, I think we'd win that game easily, but. I'm hoping to see that game. So let's just fingers crossed for that one for us.
Well, we got to get past this one though, and this this is an interesting one. Like I said, this is the game that we both wanted. We said we both want Tennessee.
Yep.
Again, Tennessee's a great football team. I'm not taking anything away from them because they're the number one seed in the AFC for a reason. You don't fall into the number one seed. You've got to be a pretty damn good football team to become the number one seed here.
But very true.
The Bengals match up very well, in my opinion, against the Titans. Last year they played them, and we beat them 31-20 at Paul Brown Stadium. And this was a much better Tennessee team, and I would say a weaker Bengals team than what we have going on right now. And the, you know, again, the Bengals handled them. Joe Burrow, you know, he was Joe Burrow. And here's the thing. We didn't have Ja'Marr Chase then.
Nope.
And in terms of defense, the Bengals, you know, Tennessee's got a good defense. They're the 12th overall defense, Bengals 18th overall. Offense, the Bengals have the 13th best offense compared to the 17th best offense for the Tennessee Titans. Joe Burrow passing wise, 7th. I mean, we know what we're going to get from, you know, from Burrow. I mean, he's going to be, you know, Joe Burrow's Joe Burrow. And, you know, the Bengals overall have put up a total of 6,145 total offensive yards this season, 1,742 yards on the ground, and via passing, 4,403 total throughout, you know, throughout the air. So that's an average of 8.7 yards per pass and an average of 5.9 yards per rush on the ground. So offensively, I feel good about this Bengals offense matching up against this Tennessee defense.
Especially if you look at, like, so what I was telling you earlier, is that Tennessee is the 31st ranked pass defense. They're actually very, very bad against the pass. In fact, they've given up the most yards and touchdowns out of any other defense in the NFL this year against wide receivers. So, I mean, and we have, as Joe Burrow would call it, we have freaks for athletes as wide receivers. And I think they're cornerbacks and their safeties. And for a long day, I mean, I do have a lot of respect for their defense, though. I think Jeffrey Simmons on the defensive line is amazing.
Oh, yeah, he's fantastic.
He's a game record. Bud Dupree, obviously, we're very familiar with him. So, I mean, he obviously coming over from the Steelers. We're very familiar with him. So, but honestly, overall, I mean, they're a team that plays. They're big, they're physical, but we play teams like that every week. We play the Steelers twice a year. We play the Baltimore Ravens twice a year. We play the Cleveland Browns twice a year. Playing Tennessee is just like playing in the AFC North. It's the same type of team. So that's why Zach Taylor, even Joe Burrow, and even Jonah Williams are the same thing. It's like playing an AFC North battle. So it's something we're very familiar with. And unfortunately, this is not something that Tennessee is familiar with. They're used to playing more finesse teams, like, for example, like the Texans and Jacksonville. Yeah, Indianapolis has become a little more of a power team, smack you in the face, obviously, because Jonathan Taylor. But before that, they were another finesse team. So they're not very familiar with playing a team like the way we play. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be an interesting matchup this week for us, too, both teams.
Oh, it is going to be. It's going to be a very, very interesting game to watch because it is the way the Bengals offense handles this game is going to. It's obviously going to determine a lot because, you know, I mean, that's one of the dumbest things you're ever going to hear, you know, said, because obviously that's how it's going to go. But the way. If the Bengals, it's gonna be determined obviously through the air and Joe Burrow. Now, if you compare quarterbacks, who would you rather have, Burrow or Tannehill? Let's be real, you got to be completely smashed drunk to say you'd rather have Ryan Tannehill than Joe Burrow.
But
it is
sort of interesting that these two guys face each other this week. When considering we're 1-2 in the NFL for sacks allowed too.
I know, and
interesting. It's interesting.
And, you know, and word just came down today that Trey Hendrickson he's good. He's out of concussion protocol.
Yeah, he is.
Thank God for that. Me being a hockey guy, you know, there's a player for my favorite team, the Colorado Avalanche, Bo Byram, young kid, and he's continuously had concussion problems. And I've seen what this kid has only played a handful of games, and the concussion part of it is, I mean, it's very, very, very scary. So
yeah, concussions can definitely be very interesting. I mean, that ended Michael Orr's career, actually, concussions. He had way too many of them.
Yeah, and it's, you know, getting your bell rung like that is not a fun situation. And, you know, when the game, you know, when I had no idea what happened to Trey Hendrickson in the game on Saturday.
I'm the same. I never even saw him go out.
That was the thing. And it was amazing because everyone around us, you know, they were just kind of like, you know, what's going on here? And then, you know, I was with the family, Mike and Tracy Sugar. They were, I mean, they're just an awesome family who sit around us. And they were the ones, I ended up going to the game with them. And Mike looked at me and was like, Trey Hendrickson's out. And I was like, what? And it just kind of like, word kind of spread like that. And it was kind of like, okay, why? What's going on here? You know, and it just kind of, yeah, it was weird because the way it all played out, nobody knew anything about it, you know, and then you could tell the loss of Ogunjobi and Trey Hendrickson really took a toll on that team last week. They were flat out exhausted
in that
second half. And that's the reason why, you know, the Raiders had as much success as they did in the second half.
Yep.
And it is what it is. I mean, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to make excuses. That's what happened. Flat out, that's what happened. And, you know, now that we're getting some guys back, obviously the having Trey come back and being cleared, and he set the play Saturday.
He's a clutch. He's a must. He's a must.
Yes. I mean, he's the, you know, what that dude has brought to this team is, I mean, you can't overstate how crucial it is. And then, you know, the loss of Larry Ogunjobi is going to hurt. Well, let's be real. Larry Ogunjobi is a phenomenal player on this
like,
defense.
And his motor is second to none. His motor is amazing. And I mean,
every bit.
I mean, talent-wise, I mean, B.J. Hill, honestly, is talent-wise, is he on the same level as Ogunjobi? Probably. But he just doesn't have the motor that Ogunjobi that Larry has. And it's like, that will be missed. I mean, but we have enough guys, obviously. And I mean, Mike Daniels, obviously, not playing this week. So we have, you know, a couple guys down, Daniels and Larry. And Larry did have surgery today. And obviously, they did say it was a successful surgery. So that was a good sign for him.
Yeah, but thankfully for that. That's
B.J. Hill, Josh Topo there, and obviously with Tyler Shelvin. And the guy they brought in from, I believe, the practice squad from the Panthers,
Cardinals.
They said? Oh, the Cardinals.
Cardinals, yeah.
Kerr, what was his name? Derek Kerr, I believe, or something?
Yeah, that sounds about it. I want to Derek, say Scott Kerr. That was
he's a guy who has – he has started 14 games in his career and does have, I believe, 5.5 career sacks. So he is a guy who does have game activity, and he is a defensive tackle. So, I mean – he'll be a good fill-in, so obviously it'll be nice to see him get in the game. So, I mean, I'm sure he'll be active on Sunday on Saturday because obviously we're down guys, so it'll be nice to see. But, I mean, I really excited. I was just saying to you just a little earlier, I really hope to see Tyler Shelvin just because he's a big man. I think he'll plug holes, especially with King Henry being back this week. I'd love to see Shelvin back in this game because with him and obviously our massive defensive tackle with DJ Reader, which we all talk about the loss of you know, Hendrickson. We bring up losing Larry, but everyone we all forget that we still have DJ Reader and the defensive line there, who is an absolute beast. But they even said he was extremely tired when the game was over because he pretty much played the whole second half because of the fact that we were down two guys.
Every bit, and that's and that does it takes a toll, especially
a guy his size.
Exactly, and you've already played 17 games already this season. Yep. Let's be real, you're exhausted. I mean, you're beaten up a little bit. That's just that's part of it, but. You know, now you have another test when it comes to a running back and Derrick Henry, who, let's be real, this dude is good. He is good. And, you know, we can count our lucky stars that he's not going to be 100%. But even Derrick Henry at less than 100% is still really freaking good.
He's going to get his yards. I mean, he's going to get his yards against us. He always does. And, I mean, last year he went for, I think I was telling you, 15 carries for 116 yards. So he definitely, he's going to get his yards. He does against everybody. Like you said, but yeah. He's not 100%. And I mean, as long as we're not letting him get, the big chunk yards. I mean, as long as he's not getting, 30, 40 yard runs against us, if he's getting his 4 or 5, I mean, he's going to get the 5, 6 yards run. No big deal. I mean, as long as we're not giving up those huge runs to him, I think as long as we can keep him, you know, honest and keeping with the short runs, I think we're in good shape. Because honestly, like I said, if even the guys on ESPN and NFL Network, and even I was listening to Boomer and Geo this morning and CBS this morning. If we can make Ryan Tannehill try to beat us, it's game over, because those guys will not be able to keep up with Joe Burrow and our guys. It's just, it's an impossibility. I mean, it's asking too much of any team in the NFL to keep up with our team. Everyone has said that now. It's like, you're asking too much of any team in the NFL to try to keep up with us.
Exactly.
It's amazing. It gives me goosebumps to even talk about that. It's just how funny it is that how we've turned it around, that we're the team that can outscore anybody now, apparently. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, but like you were saying, I agree with you, is that Tennessee's going to play – they're going to play keep away. They're going to try to play ball control offense.
And honestly, they're stupid if they don't. I mean, let's be real. They have an average time of possession, Tennessee does so far this year, of 33 minutes and 20 seconds. So, you know, average time of possession of 33 minutes and 20 seconds is pretty darn good. You're going to win some football games if you have the ball more than half of the game, you know.
That's how you beat Joe Burrow. Keep him off the field.
Exactly. And what I tell you, when you text me that last night, what I text you back? JFB can't score points on the sidelines.
No, he cannot. And, yep.
I mean, he's not going to be chucking it for 500 yards on the sidelines.
Nope.
So that's how you have to, you know, that's how you have to handle this offense. And you're dumb if you try to get into a shootout with him, especially if you have Derrick Henry as one of your weapons.
I mean, there's eight teams left in the playoffs right now. Yeah, there's eight teams. And I think they were saying this morning, there's probably two teams that might be able to keep up with us. And that, I mean, obviously, being Kansas City probably can keep up with us, because we had the game with them a few weeks ago. And obviously, yeah, the Rams have the odds to keep up with us too. But other than that, I mean, those other teams can't keep up with us. Even Tom Brady, as good as he is, they don't have the weapons to keep up with us. And so, I mean, I was listening on the way home tonight from 16 Lots. I was listening to the NFL line there with who was it there? Jim Miller and Pat Kerwin. Pat Kerwin goes, they were talking about offenses, and he was like, you know, he was talking to the Bengals, he was talking to the Chiefs, and he goes, there's not many other teams that can keep up with them. And they were like, yeah, the Rams probably could. He goes, not even as good as Tom Brady is. He goes, he just doesn't have the firepower guys on that team to keep up with a team like the Bengals.
And, you know, and that's the thing, and that's another reason why I say this is not your typical Bengals team.
No.
Because why? They could have easily taken – you know, what was the whole debate this freaking offseason going into the draft?
Penei Sewell.
Exactly. They any other situation, they would have taken Penei Sewell. They would have. Yep. Let's be real.
Yep.
Outside of, you know, before the real shift in this organization, you know, I don't want to say power-wise, because, you know, Mike's still the one. Mike's still the one signing the checks. As well he should be. He's the owner. But, you know, you've obviously seen Mike has taken more of a step back, and it's more of the Duke Tobin now. And it really makes you kind of wonder if you look, because Duke Tobin's been with this organization for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it really makes you wonder if you look back at a couple of the Bengals have over, I'd say the last, what, probably decade and a half, I would say, they've been pretty solid at drafting talent. I mean, would you say that's probably a
I would say, yeah. I mean, are we going back to as far back as Carson's draft, or are we talking after Carson's draft?
I'm going to say let's start at Carson. That's when that whole era changed of the lost decade. So we'll go with Carson's drafting on.
Okay,
They've done a relatively good job of drafting. Now, obviously, you're going to have – the draft's a crapshoot anyway. Like, it's – I mean, it's a crapshoot, so let's be real there. But overall, they have done – are you there? I was going to say, I'm getting some feedback here.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry about that.
Okay, I was like – I'm starting to talk about something. But you see what this team has done through the draft, and it's really, you know, it's changed so much. And what they've done, they brought in some serious talent. And then, you know, you bring in Ja'Marr Chase when many people said you take Penei Sewell to help shore up your offensive line. They didn't do that. They went with a known commodity with Joe Burrow Ja'Marr Chase, and look at what that's done. I mean, unbelievable.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Penei Sewell would have been the easy. Would have been a great draft pick. I mean, it would have been, like I said, you know, a few years from now, Penei Sewell is probably going to be one of the best tackles in the NFL. He probably is going to be in it, but they knew what they needed to do, and they needed that guy that was going to stretch the field and make our team just that click that much better. And Zach knows that the offensive line needs work. If anybody thinks that Zach Taylor doesn't know that the offensive line needs work, is kidding themselves, because he knew that. He knew that. And that was the main reason he brought Frank Pollock back here, because Frank knew Frank would get the best out of the guys that we were going to work with this year. These guys aren't the best guys, offensive linemen, obviously. I mean, we're bouncing around different guys at different guard spots. I mean, our tackles, obviously, we've had an issue. We obviously have had Jonah's been the whole year there. I mean, but other than that, I mean, we had Riley Reiff. The injury, obviously, Bug hit us there. I mean, so we've had Fred Johnson there. We've had Isaiah Prince. So we bounced around, but Frank Pollock's doing the job. I mean, he's gonna do what he has to do. And after the season's over, once the season's over and we're in the off season, we'll get more offensive linemen, and then Frank will do the job he was brought here to do, to get the perfect guys together to obviously fix the issue. But he's doing what he needed to do right now, which is, you know, work with the guys he has and make the best things out of them.
Completely agree. And that's what you want from, you know, your coaching staff. You take the talent you have, and then you continue to build them up, and you make them the best, the best version of, you know, that they can be, especially in games like this. And this is why you bring in top talent through the draft and top coaches to help, you know, your team as you're going through the playoffs. I mean, we're in the division round now of the AFC playoffs, or the NFL playoffs period. And I mean, you know, this is something that we haven't experienced in 31 years. This is crazy. But again, I'm confident going into this week. I feel good about it compared to, you know, any of the other situations that could have played out. I feel a hell of a lot more confident now than what I would have, like I said, in any other game. So this is why we made the moves we did. And it's obviously paid off.
And if you think about it this way, we'll be having one of our latest draft picks we've ever had, probably in the past 30 years as well.
You know, when you put it that way.
Think about that. I mean, we're going to be drafting one of the last, you know, six positions of the draft. We haven't drafted that late in 30 years.
I know. It's crazy to think about.
I mean, we were a team that was consistently being in the top 10 of the draft, if not the 10, the top 10, the top 15. But we're in the back half of the draft, which is totally new to us.
It is. Yeah. But that actually makes it kind of better because, well, obviously, I mean, it just shows that you've had a successful season the prior year. But
yep,
and you're also, you know, that usually means you're in a pretty good spot to where you can take best available.
Absolutely.
Obviously, that's going to be a different situation, but it's going to determine on how the Bengals approach free agency. But let's be real, the way they've handled free agency the last couple of years, they've spent the money.
And like you were saying the other day, free agency is a different animal now too, because now that Joe Burrow has got us to where we are now, and we know, you know, we're on the cusp, you know, if we're going to be in the playoffs year after year now, free agents are going to want to come here now. They're going to want to come to Cincinnati. They're going to want to come play here because they know that they're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be playing with a top-notch quarterback, and you're going to be playing with a good defense and where there's a lot of big name players. I mean, it's a place where guys are going to want to come now, which is awesome to know.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, you're going to have some guys who are going to go chase the money. I get it. It is what it is, you know. Because, you know, you're not guaranteed. You know, your career's not guaranteed.
No.
You know, so if you can go make that generational money, you do that. I'm not going to begrudge anybody for it. But if you want to make money and play with a damn good quarterback who's got some swagger, who's going to lead this team to some dubs, you come here to Cincinnati, because damn it, we've got a fan base too that is, I mean, thirsty, flat out thirsty.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And that actually brings me to my next point. It just came out today that the Tennessee Titans, and I think this is hilarious. I mean, I think it's really freaking funny that the Tennessee Titans are doing everything they can to limit Bengals fans from being in attendance on Saturday. Now, I don't blame them one bit. Let's be real. It's a 4 to 5 hour drive down to Nashville from here. It is a divisional playoff game. It's on the road. So, I mean, hey, we're going to travel anyway. Bengals fans are confident going into this game. It's not like, you know, we're headed up to, you know, I'm just going to throw it. I know we wouldn't play them in the playoffs until the Super Bowl, but it would be like going to Lambeau in a situation where it's like, oh, man, you know, this team is so, you know, it's such a daunting task. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But this isn't as daunting as, you know, as some would think. No, we very well could go out there and lose on Saturday. It is what it is. No shame in losing in the playoffs, you know. But, you know, you can't blame them for doing everything they can to prevent as many Bengals fans from being down there as possible. And from what I've heard, it sounds like it is going to be a sea of black and orange down there, which is awesome. I think that is so cool.
And I mean, most of the people you and I, most of the people you and I follow, or we touch base with, obviously on Twitter. I mean, most of those guys, I mean, that we know are going to be down there. I mean, Bengal Jim and his whole crew. I mean, and then obviously, I see the Bangalorians going down there. Commissioner Yash, she'll be down there. And obviously just all sorts of different people that we keep in touch with are all going down there. And I mean, because like I said, it's been 31 years, you know what I mean? Like, so we were little since, you know, so everyone, I mean, as us as Bengal fans, we just want, you know, we want to grasp onto this right now and hold on to it. You know, we want a part of, you know, of history and, you know, to keep this going. I mean, it's just something that's so cool. And it's just a great feeling. I mean, to be in this next round of the playoffs, like you said, if we were to go out on Saturday and we lose this game, it is what it is. You know what I mean? We all know when this is all said and done, only one team is going to win the Super Bowl. And everybody else is going to lose. So unfortunately, I mean, that's just the way the game is. I mean, do we want to be the last team on top? Yes, absolutely. Do we want to be the top? But when you and I talked back 18, 19 weeks ago, we said this team could have won anywhere from 4 games to 10 games. And here we are. We won 10 games. We were in the playoffs. We won a game. To you and I, we would see this as a victory this season.
Exactly. And again, and the beauty of it is they're playing with house money right now. That's what I love about it is the fact
that we have nothing to lose, nothing. I mean, if we go out and win Saturday, it's great. I mean, because if we lose, it's not no one's going to speak down upon us because you know what? They're going to say, all right, the Bengals won a game, you know, won a playoff game. They're young, upcoming team. It's a good thing. Now, if Tennessee goes out and loses on Saturday, what are they going to say? Man, a number one seed lost. You know what I mean? Boom, went out. You know, out the door quick, early. You know that bye week didn't bother me. It's more of a loss for Tennessee than it would ever be for us.
Exactly, because here's the thing: now we're playing with house money. Like that is the thing. We're playing with house money. The pressure's off our back. So, you know, now it's, you know, you're the Titans are favored in this game.
By what? 3.5, right?
Yeah, last I saw, 3.5.
So 3.5. So that means on a neutral field, they would be favored by half a point. Here, we would be favored by 2.5.
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be 2.5 because of the half point difference right there. The half point makes a difference. So, yeah, we'd be favored by 2.5 at home.
And that's the thing with this is, again, they're favored. The pressure's on them to win. They're at home. They're the number one seed. So, again, with us, we didn't, you know, this team, they beat them once last year, and this is a much better Bengals team than it was last year. Joe Burrow's playing way better.
They had their guys last year. They had Tannehill. They had
King Henry.
And he was healthy. He was healthy. They had A.J. Brown. They had Corey Davis, who actually lit us up in that game. They had their guys. Do you realize who we didn't have during that game?
Jamar Chase.
You know who else we didn't have in that game?
Was it Mixon that didn't play?
Yeah, Mixon didn't play in that game.
I was going to say, I didn't think Mixon played
in that game. Joe Mixon did not play in that game.
And see, and Joe, I mean, what an absolute weapon that he is.
And our best receiver in that game, actually, because they obviously T. Higgins was obviously, you know, 6 for 70 in that game. Tyler Boyd was getting a lot of double coverage in that game. But actually, the best receiver in that game for us actually was Auden Tate, actually.
I was just going to say it was Auden Tate.
So I was Auden Tate. Auden Tate was all over the field in that game. He actually had a phenomenal game. So I can only imagine, like I said, we put Jamar Chase on the field now, which literally changes the dynamic of every single game we play. It's, I mean, it's gonna be a fun game. It really is. Like, I'm really looking forward to this one on Sunday and Saturday.
Yeah, same here. I can't, you know, I'm so excited. And again, playing with house money, pressure's on Tennessee. You know, they're doing everything they can to keep Bengals fans out. You know, with some of the, you know, some of the limitations they're doing in regards to the ticketing. You know, and again, I don't blame them. You know,
no.
You know, hell, we've been here when Pittsburgh Steelers fans took over Paul Brown Stadium, and it sucks. When you go to your home game and you feel like you're on the road, that sucks. And hopefully Bengals fans, you know, they do. They take over Nissan Stadium and make it, you know, somewhat of a home field advantage for, you know, for the Bengals. So with that being said, what's your prediction for Saturday?
I'm going to say 24-21 Bengals.
Okay. I'm going to go 27-23 Bengals. I think overall, again, I think they're the better offense, or we're the better offense defensively. I think that, you know, Derrick Henry, like I said, Derrick Henry's going to eat. He's going to get his yards. You just got to limit the damage in that, like we had just said. You do that, you put yourself in a pretty good spot. I think the Bengals do that. I think, again, the pressure's on Tennessee. You know, but I think the Bengals, I think they do. I think they get it done. I feel confident. Again, this is the game that we wanted anyway as Bengals fans. I think the majority of us wanted it.
Yep, I think I agree with you there.
And I do. Mean, I think they get it done. I really do.
I agree with you there. I think we don't get it done, and I think we move on to the next round.
I completely agree with you. So, you know, win or lose, I'd say, you know, it's been a fun season regardless. And if we win, obviously we're going to be back, you know, chatting it up for the
AFC Championship game. We'll be back regardless. Win or loss, we'll come back and we'll discuss it either way.
I was just going to say perfect. I can't wait to have you back on. So,
yep, well, sounds good.
Nick, as always, thank you so much. And again, everyone, thank you so much for all your support. Make sure you check out the website at www.iscincy.com. That is www.iscincy.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at iscincy and also at IamChrisAsbrock. And you can also follow Nick on Twitter as well at CincyZZ. And as always, for all your fitness needs, make sure you check out fnxfit.com. That is fnxfit.com. And make sure you use the promo code BDiesel for 15% off. And as always, thank you guys again so much for your support. And we will be back this weekend to discuss the Bengals and Titans, whichever way it goes. Regardless, it's been a fun season. Cannot wait, you know, to watch this game on Saturday. And hopefully it continues on to next week. And Nick, thank you, my man, for hopping on here tonight. And we will certainly can't wait to chat with you again.
Thanks, Chris, for having me, Chris. And give everyone out there a hoo day.
Yes, hoo day. Take care, everybody.